Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews on Blog Talk Radio, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed about owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. Today, we have a great show. We're meeting with the legendary Michael Gerber. And over the past 30 years, Michael has worked with more than 60,000 small business owners and entrepreneurs, as well as many thousands more who were called to start their own business but didn't know how to begin. Today, we're going to talk to Michael about his extraordinary creation, In the Dreaming Room, and his new book, Awakening the Entrepreneur Within, How Ordinary People Create Extraordinary Companies Without Any Experience to Guide Them. And that's coming up in Segment 2 of Franchise Interviews on Blog Talk Radio. Our first segment today is being brought to you by Franchise Interviews, LLC. And Franchise Interviews gives you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get inside tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Our weekly franchise radio show on Blog Talk Radio, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and franchise attorneys. And our monthly franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise. And Don, welcome back to another edition of Franchise Interviews on Blog Talk Radio. How are you doing today, my friend?
Doing great, Marty. How are you today? Feeling
good.
Fine.
Another cold one out there, huh?
Yeah, definitely. It's a little brisk out there today.
Yeah, I'm ready for spring, though. We're almost there.
Well, I don't know anymore with the winters we have here. Like, I don't know when spring starts anymore, to be honest.
You're right about that. You know, I know last year was a very long month in March, you know, so... You know, but I'm just looking forward to it. February is always a tough month. You know, this is our
right.
last show of the month, you know, so.
But you're right. It's coming up close. It's, you know, one of my favorite times of the year with
spring
and training, baseball starting up, and, you know, the kids can start getting outside and playing a little more. So
absolutely.
Nice.
Yeah, you do get a little cabin fever, you know, and we're learning that, you know. We just had the baby, so, you know, Connie and I being in the house all the time, you know. It's just, you go crazy after a while.
Yeah, you'll start going to parks and.
Exactly.
You know, with your son and doing stuff like that, getting out.
I'm looking forward to all that stuff, you know,
yeah.
So it's going to be a lot of fun. Our last show, Don, we met with a very special guest, Gary Occhigrasso. And Gary is the president and CEO of the Desert Moon Franchise Opportunity. And Desert Moon is the East Coast original fresh Mexican grill franchise. Desert Moon is the fresh, healthful alternative to fast food since 1992. I thought it was a great show last week. Any thoughts on last week?
Yeah, you're right, Marty. Very good show.
You
really think Gary and his staff, I think they're doing things correctly, meaning the way they're setting up their franchise system with, you know, nice, solid and sustained growth. And I think what they've done now, they're really all set up now to really expand, you know, throughout the country. And I was serious about, you know, going to visit the restaurant shortly. There's a Desert Moon right by where I live, just a few miles away, so I can't wait to go check that out.
Yeah, you're pretty close to one, you know, and the same with us. We're about, I would say, about 35, 40 minutes from the closest Desert Moon.
Right.
But, you know, it was just interesting. I mean, that's the niche, Don, you know. It's very difficult up in this part of the country, especially where I am in Pennsylvania, to get good Mexican food, you know.
Right.
I mean, it's pretty much, you know, without saying any names, it's the fast food, you know, where you can get a taco for 99 cents.
Right.
And Desert Moon is not that, you know. I mean, it's quality. You know, he used words like organic, and they're getting into the whole, like, green marketing and things like that. Just interesting concept.
Yeah, he really knows what he's doing. He's very experienced, and I liked what he said. It's really kind of summed everything up when he said that the franchisee is really the key to a successful franchise system.
Yeah, that was interesting, wasn't it? You know, he's invited as a speaker to many franchise forums, and, you know, I can understand why. He used it as this, like, I think it was like a three-legged stool kind of analogy he gave, where he said one was the concept, the other was the location, and the other was, as you mentioned, Don, the operator or the franchisee, you
right.
know, and it's just a good example. You know, saying the concept's important, the location's important, but without a good franchisee or operator, you know, I mean, the franchise can still fail.
Right. Yeah, I mean, a lot of franchise systems get up and going pretty quickly, and they just really, really expand quickly. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but, you know, you just want to make sure that, you know, everything's being done right. All your different systems are in place for you know, site selection and you know, just everything involved in the whole process. And they've invested a lot of time and money to do that, and they've decided, hey, let's don't have as many, say, restaurants as we could have had by now. But now that they're all set up, they're really just setting everything up so there's little to no failure.
Right, absolutely. He considered himself, I don't know if you remember, a student of Michael Gerber as well, or his philosophy. He actually said that, Michael Gerber literally changed his life, after he read the E-Myth,
Right, big fan, just like us.
Yeah, I'm certain that Gary's listening today, but it's just interesting over the last year and a half of doing this show, how often Michael's name comes up, It's just,
right.
What an incredible story. So I'm just looking forward to speaking to him today, as you know. And
we'll definitely have Gary back on the show
today. Oh, yeah, we'll definitely have him back on. And he could talk about a lot of different things too, Don. In addition to Desert Moon, he also had that website. I think it was franchisemoneymaker.com. There's a lot of great information on that particular website, which we can use, for current events and things like that. So
yeah,
just great guest, So what do we got going on today and over the next couple weeks, Don?
We'll tell you, obviously, we're welcoming back our friend and legend, Michael Gerber. Just completed a new book, like you mentioned, Awakening the Entrepreneur Within. So we're all excited to speak to him.
Absolutely.
On his website, I guess a quote I really like, a business without a dream is like a life without a purpose.
That's clever, isn't it? So true.
Yeah. So, and then next week we got another great show. We're meeting with the VP of Franchise Development for LA Sunset 10, Mark Kickenap.
That's right.
And LA Sunset 10 is redefining the Bronze Age by introducing to the world the most luxurious and innovative tanning concept ever experienced. And I know you've been following this franchise pretty closely. I was just down at a franchise show and got to meet some of the good people involved with the franchise. I know they have a show on TV, on cable, which is having a lot of success.
They do, and it's funny. My wife, Connie, actually got me into the show. She likes to watch a lot of these reality shows, and I'm not particularly a big fan.
Right.
And, she said, you have to watch this one show, L.A. Sunset Tan. And, I watched one, and it kind of sucked me in. But it was just interesting when they started franchising. One of the owners of the company says, we're going to start franchising this concept. Mark was actually on the episode, talking about how to go about the whole thing. And so he's become like a TV star now, We'd have to talk to him about that,
Yeah, it's strange how things happen in life sometimes.
Sure, absolutely. And he's been involved in franchising. I've spoken to Mark on several occasions for, I think it's like 25 years now. So, one of the questions I'd like to ask him is, what changes he's seen in franchising over the last 25 years? Because he's been doing it such a long time.
Right. Yeah, always it's a great question to ask people who've been in the business a while.
Absolutely. Here's one quick announcement, Don. Gentleman that we had on the show, our friend and franchise expert, Joe Labava, and I think we have actually referenced Joe sometimes in segment one from some of his articles. He just completed his first ebook called The Essential Steps to Researching a Franchise Opportunity. And just a little bit of information about Joel. Joel Labava is a franchise expert, consultant, and popular industry blogger. He's proud to be a member of the franchise community and has seen firsthand how the franchise business model can help others with their dreams of business ownership. It says, in addition, if you're seriously thinking about getting some control back in your life and want to become your own boss, he says, use the word frantastic. We're going to have to use that.
Right.
More often. Now comes the most important part. Lots of people miss this. It's the research step that people run into difficulty. Do you know how to research a franchise? Have you ever researched a franchise? Do you know the 7 steps you must take before going to a discovery day? That's interesting. These are things, and I'm thinking that we should have Joel back on the show. I'd like to talk to him about the book because these are very important questions that someone needs to ask, and address before getting into
And this is what his book is concentrating on?
It is, absolutely. So it's definitely a niche in the market because I haven't seen, I don't know if you've seen, too many books written like this.
Right, that just concentrate on that subject matter, which is
exactly.
So crucial, of course.
Yeah, so congratulations to Joel on that. It's definitely a book that I'm going to read, have lots of questions for him on the show. So we'll try to get him on at the end of the month or like sometime in April.
It's a good idea.
So that's great. What else is going on, Don?
Well, we always like to remind people of shows around the country. The Franchise and Business Opportunities Expo has their Denver show this weekend, Saturday, Sunday.
Oh, good.
People needing information can go to usfranchiseexpos, that's with an S.com. Their toll-free number is 800-891-4859 to get information on that. And there's also a New York show coming up soon. We'll mention on next week's show.
Right, right.
And I saw something here, Marty, from news-press.com. It's It's called Biz Monday, The Power of Franchises. Interest Accelerates as Economy Falters by Dick Hogan, dated February 17th. The article starts out, Nick Ferencielli did his research before going into business as the co-owner of Southwest Florida's first Bear Rock Cafe in South Fort Myers, but it still came down to love at first sight. The former employee of Nino's Italian Restaurants was looking at franchise possibilities while visiting with relatives in North Carolina and didn't see anything he liked until he walked into a Bear Rock. I liked what he saw, he says. There was an instant feeling, this is what I'm looking for. This would work in Fort Myers. Him and his partner,
right,
Lou Lamorino, opened a sandwich shop here in October, and now they're part of the franchising industry, one that has more than $500 billion in payroll nationwide, represents a 9.5% of the country's private sector economy. As the housing market crash causes tremors in the larger Southwest Florida economy, there's a lot more interest in franchises from people looking to get into business for
right.
themselves, says Suzanne Specht, assistant director of the Small Business Development Center at Florida Gulf Coast University.
That's interesting.
Yeah, she says, I'm seeing it a lot more in the people I'm counseling, probably because it's scary and it's a scary environment.
Right.
They want to see more in place, she says. It's a strange market out there. That's why they usually purchase a franchise.
Exactly.
But Speck cautions clients to be wary. I like to see if they're already done some of their market research, investigating other franchises, talking to other franchise owners. And that's kind of falls in line with what we were just talking about with Mr. Labava's ebook about researching a franchise and the different steps you got to do.
Yeah, it's interesting with the whole location factor, because that's come up in the last two shows as well, Don. You know, when we had the gentleman from FranSmart, you know, he was actually saying it's easier, much easier to get a location today, you know, especially when we're talking about restaurant or fast food franchises than
right.
it was, you know, several years ago. So now's the time, you know, to kind of get in on this. But again, you certainly don't want to rush.
Yeah,
know?
I mean, you know, there's always talk about the economy, but,
right.
you know, the interest rates have come down. These are the best rates for getting a business loan.
Oh, absolutely.
In about the last at least 4 or 5 years. And now, like you're talking about, maybe it's more a buyer's market with, you know, going through the lease and location.
Process. Oh, absolutely. But at the same time, you know, is again, you just, you know, word of caution
right.
from you and I is that you don't want to rush into this thing, you know. I mean, there's just way too many choices today. And
well, it's just more the reason to do your due diligence and really speak to the franchisees, do your research, detail on the franchise system, and
absolutely.
You know, speak to the experts to help you in this area.
Right. Can you follow the system, you know? And, you know, the very first question, you know, I think, you know, the, again, the theme of the show is franchising for you? You know, it's certainly not for everybody.
Right.
You know, I don't know how it would be for you or I, you know, how well we would be able to follow certain systems, you know? And so, yeah, very important questions to ask.
And the article goes on, Marty, the franchise agreement can be an inch thick and full of legal language that the franchisee doesn't necessarily understand, she said. I really recommend they talk to a franchise attorney. That we've mentioned on a bunch of shows.
Another common theme on the show, absolutely.
Right.
So important.
They need someone on board who has looked at franchises before. They really need to get a hold on what's required of them on a monthly basis. Are they locked into a supplier, for example? She also recommends that would-be franchisees check out resources such as Entrepreneur Magazine's website for information and also the U.S. Small Business Administration's FranchiseRegistry.com
right.
for information on whether a particular company is eligible for a federal small business loan.
Interesting.
For some, the franchise turns into a long-time career. I will be open 7 years in May, said Denise Frost, 54, who owns the Curves for Women exercise franchise in North Fort Myers. It's an awesome business. I just love exercise. I went to the Curves in Cape Coral. I just moved here 8 to 10 months ago before, and there was no gym at all out here.
Really?
That's pretty incredible this day and age. I thought there was a gym everywhere.
Exactly. It's saturated, you know. That's
now, I like the concept. Worked out for a couple of months and decided what I wanted to do. Terry Hill, spokesman for the Washington-based International Franchise Association, said franchisees should look more at the business itself and less at whether a particular franchise has grown rapidly.
Right.
That's a good point. Just because a company has a lot of franchises, it doesn't mean it's a solid business.
Oh, absolutely.
Mainly, he said, franchises are a way of adapting to a niche in the economy. If there's something that's a service people want, the franchise model seems able to adapt to it.
Right.
For example, he said, going on, there's a lot of demand for fitness places like Curves as baby boomers try to stay in shape. Another hot area these days is the tutoring business with companies that help children in fields such as math, computers, and languages, he said. You might want to start getting little Martin Jr. involved some of this party soon.
It's going to be costly, isn't it?
I think a lot of it is driven by two-income parents wanting to give their kids a jump on education. They're not home a lot, and they need somebody to do it.
Right.
Some franchises are tailored to the specific conditions in a geographic area. Joe McKenna, for example, started Orlando-based Sky Shades in 2004 because Florida's sometimes brutal heat and sudden thunderstorms made it a good place to sell the company's colorful, high-tech shade structures.
Oh, really?
And it's another franchise I've never heard of before.
Yeah, we should get them on the show, huh?
Wow.
It sounds like another interesting concept, you know, I'm not familiar with.
It was something I'd work on for years of writing business plans, working out the details of how I was going to start up the business, he said. I recruited distributors in midway of last year, started a full-fledged franchise operation. Dale Campion, 52, became the Estero-based Skyshades franchisee for Southwest Florida 2 months ago, but not before doing a lot of research. His territory stretches from Sarasota to Key West. He worked 30 years in corporate sales, marketing, and management, hired a business broker, and found there was nobody even close in design and marketing to Skyshades.
It's been a common theme or story on the show, too, you know, all these people working in corporate America, you know, for, you know, 30, 40 years, you know, and now getting into franchising, Don. It's very interesting.
Right. Usually it's a dream of people, and that's something, of course, Michael Gerber's big on dreaming. And,
right.
And sometimes people just don't know what to do.
Exactly.
They've done their time, they've retired, or they...
Well, they're not ready to retire, you know. I mean, a lot of these guys, you know, and I understand the position they're in. You know, they're 50, 60 years old, you know, and I say, who's going to hire them now, you know?
Right.
So,
not ready to retire either mentally or, you know, just
sure.
financially with the way today's companies are, with the lack of loyalty, and sometimes you need to control your own destiny, and that's where, you know, a lot of people opt to go into business and
absolutely.
Franchise. One last thing it says... This person liked the involvement of golf legend Greg Norman, who's a co-founder and director of the company Skyshades.
Right.
That's interesting, too.
That is interesting. Well, today we have a great show, Don. We're meeting with the legendary Michael Gerber, and over the past 30 years, Michael has worked with more than 60,000 small business owners and entrepreneurs, and I think it's like 145 different countries as well as many thousands more who were called to start their own business but didn't know how to begin. And today we're going to talk to Michael about his extraordinary creation called In the Dreaming Room and his new book, which you and I have been waiting for since the last time we met with him. I think it was back last year in February, Awakening the Entrepreneur Within, How Ordinary People Create Extraordinary Companies Without Any Experience to Guide Them. And Michael Gerber has spent the last 30 years understanding and improving the world of the entrepreneur. This passion led to the founding of the E-Myth Worldwide in 1977 to transform the way that small business owners do the work of growing their companies. Obviously, you and I have both read the E-Myth, so big fans of that.
Yes.
Hey, Michael, good morning. Welcome to the show. Michael? Hey, Michael. I don't think he's there yet, Don. Hey, Michael.
I'm here.
Oh, hey, Michael. How are you?
Hi.
Good morning.
How are you?
How are you doing today?
I'm wonderful. Thank you.
We brought you in a little early, Michael. We got a little enthusiastic about talking to you.
Well, what can I tell
you? A long time. Michael, joining us is also my co-host, Don Johnson. And I know, Don, you wanted to say hi to...
Yeah, hey, Michael. Great to have you back.
Thank you, Don.
It was what, Marty, around...
I think it was February or March, Michael. Yeah, it was just when you were, kicking off the In the Dreaming Room concept, you know, which Don and I were excited about. And you were also writing the book at that time as well, you know.
Yep.
So,
and here we are.
And here we are. You know?
And life goes on.
Absolutely. You know, so, Michael, I thought a great place to start off is if you can ask or tell our listeners, what is In the Dreaming Room?
Well, the Dreaming Room was an invention of mine as a result of a conversation I had with my brother-in-law, Marty Sklar.
Right.
Marty is the vice chairman of Disney Imagineering. And for 50 years, beginning with Walt and after Walt's passing, has been the primary leader of the parks.
Right.
So Anaheim Disney, Disney World, in Japan, in Florida, in everywhere and anywhere, Marty's been right at the heart of it. And he told me a story about Walt Disney. At the very, very outset of Disney Imagineering, he was in a meeting, and he was getting frustrated by the way the meeting was going, and he called the end of the meeting and said, everybody come on back tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
When they came back in the morning, there was a sign on the door which said, welcome to the Dreaming Room.
Right.
And when they sat down inside, Walt told them what, in fact, the dreaming room was. That this is a place where we're focused on pursuing the impossible.
Right.
Nothing you know has prepared you for this. Nothing you've done has prepared you for this. We're in pursuit of the impossible, and that's the end product of everything we do. And then he handed them out, Marty told me, their new business cards, which then named them the first Disney Imagineers.
Wow.
And so Imagineering is what I do in the dreaming room. And I thought, this is exactly what every single person who ever wanted to create a business and every single person who has created a business absolutely needs to do. They need to learn how to dream. And what I'd learned in the 30-plus years now, as I've worked with small business owners everywhere, is that, in fact, that's the biggest single missing piece. There is no higher purpose. There is no great idea. There is no great result that they want to produce. They simply start a business and go to work.
It's interesting, Michael, because you know everybody dreams when they start a business, money, you know, big success, growing a company, but it seems like most people don't know how to implement that dream. I guess that's the key in your focus.
Yeah, well, in fact, the biggest problem is that they dream about owning a business, but then what they do is they go to work to become their own boss, and they inevitably end up working for a lunatic.
Right.
They never really had a bigger idea than becoming their own boss. And there has to be a bigger idea than becoming your own boss, especially if you're going to buy a franchise, because it'll kill you if there's not a bigger idea behind your reason for doing it. And so by a bigger idea, I mean, so what is the great result that you're going to produce through the creation of this company? There's an extraordinary entrepreneur in Bangladesh, of all places, by the name of Muhammad Yunus. And Muhammad Yunus was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize 3 years ago for his invention of Grameen Bank. And Grameen Bank came about because Muhammad Yunus discovered, as a professor of economics in Bangladesh, the extraordinarily devastating reality of famine in his country and people dying and people completely incapable of being self-sufficient and taking care of themselves. So he decided, after truly thinking through the problem, what the real problem was. And the problem really was that people had no access to capital, no matter how minimal that capital might be or needed to be, in order for them to create self-sufficiency. So he created, invented a system, as certainly as Ray Kroc invented the system for McDonald's, he invented a system through which he could provide what he called micro-lending to a person who had absolutely no ability to pay back the money they would borrow, but who, provided they could acquire just a little bit of money to be able to produce a basket or to raise a chicken or to do this or to do that, absolutely essential skills they needed in order to take care of themselves. His belief was that not only would they be able to pay back the loan, but they would be able to grow a small business doing what they did, and lo and behold, he has truly saved the lives of millions upon millions of impoverished women all over the world. And Grameen Bank's model has been emulated in countless countries throughout the world to do exactly the same thing. So his big result was the eradication of poverty in the world. Now think about that idea. You'd say, yeah, that's great, Michael, but that's not what businesses are made of. But in fact, Grameen Bank is an incredibly profitable and growing company.
Right.
So you can do good and truly have a profound impact on the world, and that's what I mean about a great result or a big idea or what happens in the dreaming room as people begin to ask the question, what do I really want to do with my life? What impact do I really want to have with my life? And how would I create an extraordinarily original company to enable me to do just that?
Right. And all these great things come from, as you say, Michael, the imagination. You know, I think you referenced like Microsoft and Apple, all creations of the imagination. You know,
of course, absolutely. Imagination is more important than knowledge, Einstein said. Imagination, that's why they call them Imagineers. So our imagination needs to be fed. It needs to be stimulated, and that's what I do in the Dreaming Room. And nobody's ever done it this way before. And I've been working in the Dreaming Room while I've been working on the Dreaming Room in my past 32 Dreaming Rooms since I had my first Dreaming Room in December of 2005, and getting it ready to scale. And that means that I'll not be doing it. Somebody else will, a Dreaming Room facilitator who has learned the system
right.
of producing the result that the Dreaming Room is there to produce.
That's fantastic. And this type of dreaming that we're talking about, Michael, you mentioned like the scene in the manuscript, is we're not talking daydreaming. We're talking, you mentioned in the book, intentional dreaming.
Absolutely. In fact, this whole new process I've been developing in the Dreaming Room is really quite extraordinary. And I call it organizing for growth.
Mm-hmm.
So I call it the Organizing for Growth program. And the first step of three critical steps in organizing for growth is intentional dreaming. The second is intentional organization. And the third is intentional growth. So what you do in the intentional dreaming phase is to truly begin to break down all the barriers to accessing your imagination, and to begin to ask, as you look around the world, what's missing in this picture. As you begin to see things that break down, as you begin to see people in need of something or another, as you begin to see how the world really works, you begin to ask this truly entrepreneurial question, what's missing in this picture? And if I could provide what's missing in this picture, then I could produce a resolution to a problem that's truly inhibiting people from experiencing a full and joyful life.
Right. Absolutely. You said something very interesting in the new book, Michael, that in the beginning of our lives we're told to stop dreaming or stop imagining, you know, and that's not how something great is created, you know. So it's just interesting. It's almost a cultural problem. I remember as being a small kid, you know, told constantly to stop daydreaming, you know, and that's not how something great is created, is it?
No, it's not. It's not. It's remarkable, in fact, that we persist in that with kids.
Absolutely.
But essentially, when kids dream, they get into trouble. When kids come to us with a great idea, we diminish that great idea and ask them to go clean their room.
Right.
So effectively, we're constantly trying to train our children to be good citizens, that is, good employees,
mm-hmm.
good workers, when in fact, we've already seen in your life and my life that, in fact, being a good employee is not the greatest thing in the world to achieve, but being a great entrepreneur who invents the world is truly something to be desired. But we don't know how to do that, and that's my mission. My mission, my complete focus in these years of my life is to truly awaken the entrepreneur within the world and to teach people, to inspire people, to train people, to coach people, to mentor people, and consult with people on how to develop the skills that are absolutely essential to creating something, a company that works better than any other.
Right.
I mean, Troy, like Michael, you're having people, you know, stretch their imagination and to dream even bigger than what they were previously doing.
Absolutely.
And make it constructive, of course.
Yeah, because I'm actually saying that people don't fail because they dream too big. People fail because they dream too small. People fail because they don't rise above where their experience would lead them. People fail because they don't truly begin to dare to imagine something that they've never actually imagined before. And as I bring people into the dreaming room, as people participate with me, they begin to experience something they have never experienced, or if they had experienced, they'd experienced it years ago, but in some way lost the ability to dream. So it's a remarkable thing. I never would have told you I'd be doing it, but in fact I see it as the absolutely essential piece to anybody who wants to do anything, let alone buy a franchise. The beginning of that process is to dream.
You know, it's really like an awakening. I mean, in life, there's just so much that can just, you know, I guess sort of beat you down a little bit. You know, life's not easy, and there's work, and there's family, and I guess over time that maybe you just don't have the time or just forget about something simple like dreaming. So you're really just reintroducing it to people, you know, kind of waking them up again, so to speak.
Well, I'm reintroducing the question, what in the hell am I here for?
Right.
What is my life? And time goes on for all of us, and it's tick-tock, tick-tock, and time goes on, and I simply become immersed in all of the doing it that I've committed myself to. And I never stop to really ask, is this really what I want? Is this really what I want to do? Is this really the entire purpose of my life? Is this really going to give me the experience that I truly am hungry for, the joy that I truly am missing right now? What in the world am I doing with myself? And I'm simply suggesting, without asking that question in a very, very provocative way, people miss the most extraordinary opportunities that they will never see until they begin to ask the question, then who am I? What do I want? Where am I going? And these questions begin to provoke some very, very serious introspection, and that's critical. For anybody who is, as you say, sitting there about to think about going off on their own, about buying a business, about buying a franchise, or about creating a business of their own, critical, 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 and nobody's talking about it.
Right.
Absolutely, yeah. So it's a critical element to entrepreneurial success, Michael. All this dreaming, I think you mentioned in the manuscript, it gives you fuel to stay up late and get up early in the morning.
Well, that's where the juice comes from.
Absolutely.
I mean, can you imagine Michael Dell creating Dell Computer? I mean, you think about that. He was a college student who began to diddle with this idea, the idea, the big idea, the great result, and he created this stunning company, this extraordinary company that does what it does in a way that nobody else imagined it could be done. Taking a commodity, a computer, and turning it into a product, a true invention, the way in which Dell provides customized computers in a standardized process. Customized, standardized, an extraordinary idea that rules the world today. And yet you don't hear that expression in most places. And certainly you don't hear it in franchising. Customized, standardized. How do you do that? Well, that requires entrepreneurial imagination and verve, and that's what creates absolutely stunning companies. So if you're going to do that, you might as well do something in the business you're about to create that truly transforms the lives of the people who buy from you.
Interesting. Do you find that a lot of the people coming into the dreaming room initially, Michael, are a little trepidatious or afraid to dream big?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And in fact, they have no idea what's going to happen.
Right.
It's impossible to tell them. And in fact, if I told them, I would be actually doing the opposite of what I'm there to do. So all I say to somebody is come to the dreaming room with a beginner's mind and a blank piece of paper.
Right.
Come with absolutely no expectation of anything. Don't come to fix your business. Don't come to invent your business. Don't come to do anything whatsoever about anything you know, because I'm not going to deal with anything you know. I'm going to deal with everything you've not even thought about before,
right,
in a way that you've never done it. And obviously that's the challenge, because when I go into the dreaming room, I do exactly the same thing as my guests. When I go into the dreaming room, I go in with a blank piece of paper and beginner's mind. I don't go in with a turnkey answer to everybody's problems. Because, in fact, if I did that, I wouldn't be provoking exactly the thing I'm suggesting is essential. I'd simply be giving them an already predigested answer. That's not the purpose of the dreaming room. So it's truly a test of my ability to let go of what I've learned over the past 30 years. It's the test of my ability to actually engage with each and every single participant, individual in a dreaming room, where they are. And I have no idea who they are, where they are, before they enter the dreaming room. I don't ask them any questions. So I had to build the impossible system that's in fact the antithesis of a system while being an extraordinary system in the process of doing something nobody's ever done before. And that's what's such an absolute mind blower about it.
So, Michael, the people who attend in the dreaming room, there's no specifications you have. You don't want an existing business owner or really anybody can attend.
Anybody at all who truly wants to do this thing, which is awaken the entrepreneur within. They want to create a business, but they don't know how to create a business. They got a business, but they're unhappy with the business they've got. They've got a business, and they're happy with the business they've got, but they realize that they suffer from a lack of imagination. They just can't really figure out how to solve problems that are continually coming up. They can't figure out how to provide the juice that the company needs continuously in order for it to feel fresh and new and alive. They're trying to deal with all of the conditions anybody and everybody has ever had to deal with in a business, which is the people need stimulation, the people need imagination, the people need to be focused on what they're there to do, the people need to be inventive in order to create better ways to do it, the people need to learn how to innovate, and they don't know how to innovate. If the worst thing is they simply use the system, and they never, ever, ever think outside of it. So effectively, that's what happens when you come to the dreaming room. You begin to develop muscles that have not been used before.
It reminds me of the movie, Michael, The Dead Poets Society, if you've ever seen it, with a famous line.
Oh, yeah, that was a great
movie. Seize the day, sucking the marrow out of life,
Yep.
And they get 2.5 days to do that.
Yep.
That's fantastic.
Extraordinary movie, and everybody should go see it. I'm sure you can go to Blockbuster and pick up a copy.
Absolutely.
But that's exactly what it is, to begin to inspire people to be inspired themselves.
Interesting.
That's great. I'm sure you have hundreds of stories, Michael, of people going in the dreaming room. I'm sure you have examples of people that attended and had an extraordinary transformation. Maybe you can talk about one or two people that you might have helped along.
Oh, absolutely. Well, there are dozens. I've had over 1,000 people in the dreaming rooms that I've done, and the dreaming rooms that I've done have really been a prototype. I've walked into the dreaming room wondering, what in the world am I doing here? What in the world is going to happen here?
Right.
No idea of what the impact would be. No idea what the next words out of my mouth were going to be. I'd never done anything like this before. And it's just astonishing to me. The kinds of things that have occurred in the dreaming room. One gentleman who is an extraordinary advisor, stock advisor, has written many, many books on the subject, has become extraordinarily successful, and yet he's only 29 years old.
Wow.
This gentleman was dying. He literally was dying because he'd felt that his life had come to an end. He couldn't imagine what he was going to do next. He'd put himself into a box and couldn't get out of it. And when I met him in the dreaming room, he was so depressed, you could feel it coming from his body. And as I began to challenge him to go back to how he began his life, now understand, he's a young man,
right,
but he's a brilliant young man. And he started this whole career of his in his teens. He early on discovered this gift of his he had and pursued it with everything he had. But he had come to an end of the road, and he had no way of even imagining how to break free of it. Well, in the dreaming room, he did. The one company he had was sucking him dry when he walked in the door. When he left the dreaming room, he had enough energy to start 6 new companies in the year following leaving, because his imagination just burst like out of a prison and began to see the many different options available to him. But not only was he creating 6 new companies in less than the year following the dreaming room, but he also discovered how to spend more time with his wife. And he and his wife developed a completely new and fresh relationship. So much so was she blown away that she came to the dreaming room herself. So understand, his whole life changed, completely changed. Now here's an extraordinarily successful person, and you would think, looking from the outside of his life, that he had everything. But when I saw it from the inside of his life, he had absolutely nothing and less than that, and in fact, no inspiration about how to get where he was to where he couldn't even imagine himself to be. So what happened in his early teens was essentially an accident of genius. What happened in the dreaming room was to plug into that accident of genius and discover that he could do it at will. He'd never believed that. Suddenly he saw that, and that was a result of the dreaming room.
Now, Michael, you said he started up 6 companies. Shouldn't you be at least part owner of about 4 or 5 of those?
Yeah, I absolutely should, but it happened so fast, and who's got time? Because in the past 2 years, I've started up 6 companies of my own.
There you go.
So all of this is happening in the dreaming room. You got to understand, I'm 71 years old. You understand, I'm not a kid, but I have the juice and energy and imagination of a kid, and I discovered in the dreaming room what I knew when I started my first company, E-Myth Worldwide. I discovered the entrepreneurial thrill of inventing something out of whole cloth. You understand? I knew nothing about business when I started E-Myth Worldwide. All I knew is I had a dream, and my dream was to transform the state of small business worldwide. That's what I said to myself. I had a vision, and my vision was to invent the McDonald's of small business consulting. I had a purpose, and that was to transform the lives of every small business person, every owner of every business. If you wanted to go into business, you could suddenly do it right, and the vast majority wouldn't fail. And I had a mission, and my mission was to invent a turnkey consulting system that I could teach to a relative novice who, in turn, could use that to transform the lives of any client at less than the cost of a minimum wage kid. So the way we've been able to work with every and any kind of small business is through a system I invented. Well, all of that inventiveness at the very beginning of E-Myth was critical to its becoming today the largest and most successful small business development firm in the world. But something was missing. And the something was missing was the entrepreneur in me. Because once I started it, and after I developed it, I became more and more and more a manager of it. Mm-hmm. And that's not entrepreneurship. And that's what was missing. And that's what came back to me full bore when I finally brought in a CEO to grow the company and freed me to simply go out on my own. To do what? To do everything that I've been doing.
Absolutely. So you've had 2 entrepreneurial awakenings, it sounds like, in your life, Michael. I guess back when you started the E-Myth back in, I guess it was 1977, and your experience with the Dreaming Room. Last time we had you on the show, you spoke about, it was a great story with your mom, how she inspired you to start this whole thing. You know?
Absolutely, and I tell that story in my new book.
It's a great story. Yeah, it's a wonderful story. I love how you even brought in the story you tell of Arnie and how you were consulting the gentleman Bob. I just think that's such a great story. How you two were sitting across from each other, and this great thing happened just out of that one incident.
Well, my friend Arnie, not his name,
right.
owned a small ad agency. And he was having problems with one of his clients. He had problems with more than one of his clients, and that is the client didn't know what to do with the leads that Arnie Ads produced. And Arnie asked me if I'd sit down with him and see what was going on, and I said to Arnie, I don't know anything about business, and I certainly don't know anything about high tech. This was in Silicon Valley in the early 70s. And Arnie said to me, for whatever reason, Michael, I think you know more than you need to know. Just do me a favor and do it.
Right.
So I sat down with his client, who we'll call Bob, and Arnie says to us, listen, guys, I'm going to take off for about an hour, get to know each other. So Bob says to me, Michael, what do you know about my business? And I said, Bob, nothing. And he said, well, what do you know about my product? And I said, Bob, less than that. He said, so, Michael, you don't know anything about my business and nothing about my product. How in the world can you help me? And I said, Bob, I haven't a clue, but Arnie thinks I can.
Right.
So let's figure out what's going on. And I started that conversation with two assumptions. First of all, that I didn't know anything about business. And second of all, that Arnie must, because he owned one. And in that hour, the E-Myth was born. In that hour, I absolutely learned that, one, I did know something about business,
right.
and that business selling is a system. And two, I realized that the guy, Bob, who owned the business, didn't know anything about business, and it blew my mind. And I suddenly realized there was a huge opportunity there. So the entrepreneur woke up in me at exactly that moment and saw the opportunity to go to work on Bob's business, not in Bob's business, to build a turnkey selling system for Bob's business so that he could convert the leads that Arnie was creating for him. And in the process of starting that, the E-Myth was born.
A great story.
Which, by the way, I'm now reading again for the second time. I recommend everybody out there, it's been a while since they've read the E-Myth, to read it again. It's really a great little refresher because people seem to forget about things over time, Michael.
I've got guys, I swear, Don, who tell me they pull out the E-Myth Revisited every year.
Mm-hmm.
One gentleman I spoke to, the founder of an extraordinary company, 1-800-GOT-JUNK,
mm-hmm.
who's a franchisor.
Right.
He credits the E-Myth with the creation of his company, and he credits the E-Myth with the continued vitalization of his company and the growth of his company. They now have a few more than 300 franchisees around the world. The guy is less than 40. He's the CEO of this company. He started by driving a truck, picking up junk, read the book, read the E-Myth Revisited, and suddenly saw the light. And the product of that is a company which last year did $147 million in gross revenue and has the expectation of reaching $1 billion in revenue in the next 8 years. So the man's on path, and he takes the E-Myth out every year and reads it again and insists that every one of his management team reads the book. And in fact, I'm the keynote at his annual event in March. So I'll be in Vancouver addressing 1-800-GOT-JUNK.
Right, right. The show we had last week, Michael, with the CEO and president of a franchise opportunity called Desert Moon, Gary Occhi-Grasso, he spoke about you for like 10 minutes during the show. I mean, it's just amazing the impact that you've had in the franchise community. I mean, your
well,
name
thank
comes
you.
Up every other show.
Thank you. And, you know, I don't know 90% of these people, so I hear this guy says and this guy says and that guy. It's really quite extraordinary to me because I don't know these people.
Exactly. I can't imagine, you know, what kind of fuel you have. I mean, I don't know how you go to bed at night, Michael. I mean, changing the story you told about, you know, the young gentleman, you know, being depressed and stuff like that. I mean, the kind of fuel that you must get from that kind of situation must be incredible for you.
It is. It's absolutely extraordinary, and life is simply an array of infinite options, and they're continually showing up.
Absolutely.
They're constantly showing up. I can't imagine how anybody could feel limited or deprived of opportunity when there is so much more opportunity than any single one of us could possibly deal with. And I see it every single day in my mind. There's one, there's one, there's one. Why doesn't anybody do that? Why doesn't anybody do that? It's extraordinary when you begin to experience the entrepreneur within, and anybody, any single person on the face of this earth can experience it if they begin the process right. And that's what I'm committed to.
Absolutely. And the title is great, too, Michael, you know, how you added, in addition to how ordinary people create extraordinary companies without any experience to guide them. You were one of those people. I think you referenced Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, Michael Dell. I mean, all these guys really didn't have this significant experience in business. It was all based on a dream or their imagination.
Exactly. They had no experience in business. Bill Gates wasn't a business guy.
Right.
Bill Gates didn't work for a living. Bill Gates went to Harvard and then dropped out. Michael Dell didn't have any experience when he started his business. Nobody, no great entrepreneur, has necessarily had any business experience at all. They simply imagined a result that they saw was absolutely needed in the world, and then they invented the answer to that problem in a business. Well, anybody can do that.
Right.
And in the book, Awakening the Entrepreneur Within, I take you step by step by step through the golden process through which any company can be started from scratch in your garage. And I'm essentially saying, if your car is parked in your garage, move it out and start a business.
Exactly, absolutely.
It seems like Michael, top entrepreneurs are never satisfied. I mean, in Chapter 3 of your book, I thought it was great. You talk about you woke up one day and you had nothing to do. Personally, I mean, that's my dream, to wake up one day and have nothing to do, but just for a day before I get back to business. But, you know, of course, yourself being a top entrepreneur, you just weren't satisfied with that. You had to, take that next step and do something great again, and that's what you did, obviously, with this book.
Yeah, well, and you got to understand, when I say I had nothing to do, I had everything to do, but I didn't have to do it.
Right.
In other words, I didn't have to go out and earn a living anymore.
True.
But I do. I didn't have to go out and speak anymore, but I do continuously. I didn't have to go out and write another book. My books are among the top 5 business books ever published in the world. E-Myth Revisited sells more books every year than it sold before.
Wow.
It's the most extraordinary phenomenon. So I didn't have to do anything. There's nothing that caused me to go out and create the Dreaming Room other than my fertile imagination.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm simply saying, what an extraordinary place to live in the imagination. Because one can begin to imagine a world unlike the world we live in, and then take it upon yourself to invent it. And that's all it is, inventing it. Everybody invents every single day of their life. The problem is, most of us invent the past.
Mm-hmm. True.
I'm about inventing the future.
Right. And this book precedes the E-Myth, Michael, so I guess everybody who has read the E-Myth is going to have to read Awakening the Entrepreneur Within as well.
Your lips to God's ears.
There you go.
Yes, absolutely.
It was interesting, Michael. I saw you in another presentation once. You referred to Krishnamurti and how he stated, "We're born to climb, but most of us just stay in the valley, and we're warned not to climb the mountain." I thought that was interesting because I think it's so true of our culture as well. You know.
Well, yeah. In Australia, they call it the tall poppy syndrome.
Mm.
And the tall poppy syndrome, don't stick up above the rest,
right?
Because we'll chop you down.
Exactly.
Well, in the United States, we like to stand up above the rest. We love that experience of being the raw, amazing individual. But still, even though we profess we love that, we don't take kindly to people who break out of where we live. Because essentially, what it says about us. So we don't like people to challenge the status quo. We don't like people in companies to challenge the status quo.
Right.
But if you look at McDonald's, the most extraordinary innovations at McDonald's were created by the franchisees, not the parent company.
True.
And that's really quite remarkable. So how do you build a system that requires absolute commitment and at the same time creates room for innovation? It's the biggest single challenge for the franchisee of the franchisor of the future.
Right.
How do you create creativity in your environment, at the same time create orchestration in the environment? And franchisors who do not address that issue will discover that, in fact, they're not going to be attracting entrepreneurs, because no entrepreneur wants to give up his or her imagination and inventiveness, become controlled by a system that is so rigid that they can't invent. And therefore, most franchisors will not derive the benefit from all of that invention that must happen for the franchise to continually improve and grow.
That's interesting. What's next, Michael? I mean, I understand that there's going to be a book signing tour.
I'm going out 26 cities starting this month.
That's great.
I'm then going out to 1,200 more by webinar to bring the new book and the idea of the age of the new entrepreneur to everyone. I'm launching my new website, awakeningtheentrepreneur.com, and on that you'll see a host of other business ventures that I'm deeply involved in, one called clubenetwork.com. That's Club E as an entrepreneur, network.com, and that is both online and on-site, because we're opening up Clubees, Club Entrepreneurs, throughout the United States. We have two in Phoenix, one in Tempe, one in Boulder, one in Denver. There'll be New York opening up in May, Washington, D.C. opening up in May. We expect to open up 52 cities this year. And that's a club that young entrepreneurs or old entrepreneurs or any entrepreneur can go to once a month to hear an extraordinary entrepreneur speak of his or her success.
Right.
And to give them insight into how entrepreneurs think, feel, and do whatever they do, to create a community
right.
of entrepreneurs. So Club E Network, clube.com, is really the social network, the MySpace for entrepreneurs. And you'll see that on my new website.
Oh, that's
There's also a company called Signari, which has a motto called Earn While You Learn and Grow, and it provides people who want to become entrepreneurs with business opportunities without any investment. All they need to do is to refer friends to these opportunities, and they earn a living while they're learning the skills needed to start their own new business and grow that business. So all kinds of stuff I'm doing.
That's fantastic.
Wow, that's great. A lot of different things to give people information, knowledge, and probably most importantly, to motivate.
You got
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. What's the best way to get more information, Michael? Is should someone go to In the Dreaming Room? We actually have that link up on
yep.
our website.
Yep, my
as
next
well.
Dreaming Room is March 28th, 29th, and 30th.
That's fantastic.
So you go to www.inthedreamingroom.com, inthedreamingroom.com.
That's
but
fantastic.
Better yet, what I'm going to ask everybody to do is to go to Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com and buy my new book immediately before it hits the stores on March 4th, and you'll get a 30% savings at Amazon. Buy 10 books, give away 9, read the other, and I'm telling you, you will start an entrepreneurial revolution in your life and among your friends.
And we have that link up on our website as well as we're speaking, Mike, you know, so
super.
That's fantastic. But I think you're great. I know Don thinks you're great, you know, and one of my dreams is to shake hands with you one day. So
well, thank
hope
you.
To do that.
You're still on top of your game, Michael, better than ever.
Thank you. Thank
great.
You.
Thank you, Michael. You're great.
Take care.
Take care, Michael.
Take care, Michael. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Great show, Don.
Yeah, just
really, it could have been a 2-hour show, but he's just such a pleasure to talk to. You know,
it's really amazing some of these new things he's getting into.
It's incredible. You know,
Clubby Network, and I think all these things he mentioned at the end are going to be great success. Just not the,
I heard
course,
of that
new book.
By the way. Yeah, I didn't say anything to him, but I actually heard of that. That social.
Right. Networking.
Yeah, I didn't realize that he was involved in that. You know.
Right.
I was listening to a presentation the other day, and someone was talking about it. You know, and I didn't realize that, you know, Michael was involved in that as well. So it's just amazing. But it's because he has all this fuel. You know, I mean, that story he was telling was really inspirational about that young gentleman who was 29
right.
years old. I say, how is he able to sleep at night? You know, knowing what he's done for people. You know, it's
yeah.
just incredible. You know?
Yeah, I know. It's just. You know, people kind of reach a dead end. Even that person you were talking about, he's only about 29 years
old.
Yeah,
29 years old he was, yeah, you know. So it's just...
just the lives that he's affecting, you know, and helping. It's just just keeps going on and on. It's just incredible, that book.
That's his
motivation. You know, the E-Myth.
Right.
How that continues. Like you said, it's selling more and more each year than the previous year, which is incredible.
Well, in this book, too, you know, I mean, I have to... I love both books, of course, you know, but reading, you know, the manuscript of Michael's new book, you know, it's just... you walk away with a different feeling. You walk away, as he says, with an awakening, you know, or you
right.
walk away with all this fuel and motivation, you know. So it's one of these books. I think it's going to be in that top five with the E-Myth, you know. So it's just incredible.
And fans of Michael throughout the country, I mean, the people who read E-Myth, you know, several times, I mean, you know, they're definitely going to be buying this book, you know, without a doubt.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the book is going to be a tremendous success, you know, and it's definitely worth it. You know, I mean, this is a book that I'm probably going to read several times over, you know, but I like
right.
his idea of buying 10, you know what I mean? Especially in the franchise community, you know, because so many, you know, your Carol Mercurios, your franchise brokers, people like that, you know, they constantly give out the E-Myth. Why not give out this book as well? You know
right.
I mean? Because this book precedes the E-Myth. So it's really, if you're going to do anybody a favor, buy them both, you know, buy Awakening, the Entrepreneur Within, and the E-Myth, you know, and say read Awakening first. And,
right. And I'm going to you know, definitely be putting those books on a few of my websites. And it was interesting, we were talking about the franchising industry, the franchisor.
Mm-hmm.
How you know, how are they going to, you know, maximize that, you know, creativity and trying to, you know, continually try to improve the franchise at the same time, keep that system in place for people to follow.
Absolutely. So important, you know. But great show, you know. Again, we'll have to have him back on the show next year, you know.
Yeah, we should have him on every month, I think.
Every month, well, that would be great. So, for that, or every show, you know. For me, it's fine, you know. But great show, Don.
Yeah, good job.
Good job today, and we have another great show next week. LA Sunset Tan.
Yeah, looking forward to that as well.
Absolutely. So you have a great day, Don, and I'll talk to you next week.
Okay.
Take care.
Thank you. Take care, Marty. Bye bye.